You're listening to the best of ESPN New York Tonight.
Monday night edition of the show here on 98.7 ESPN. Hardesty and Damer. Gordon, I'm going to let Bill Barnwell take over now. Here's what he had to say about the New York Jets.
I believe they are a team that is right now the best team in the AFC East because of what has happened to the Dolphins, where teams have spent more money on Dolphins players than any other team in football this free agency, in terms of the Bills having to make significant cutbacks because of their cap situation, and because the Jets have been able to add pieces to their roster. This is not the Aaron Rodgers best friends all-star roster that we saw last year. They're a much better roster on paper.
All right, now, Gordon, today, Adam Schefter was on the Michael Kay Show.
Okay.
And he was asked, are the Jets now better than the Bills?
Is Aaron Rodgers healthy for 17 games? Yes. Tyron's healthy for 17 games? Mike Williams healthy for 17? Yeah, I'll take the Jets. If everybody's healthy, give me the Jets.
Now, Gordon, obviously, health is a major factor in this whole situation. And if you're a Jet fan, here's the issues that you have. You're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. It just happens, just the way it goes. You're just waiting. And in theory, what they did, they improved themselves, but they improved themselves with folks that have a huge injury risk. Now, let me just say this about Barnwell. Barnwell is an interesting guy because he was very anti-Jets last year when everybody was pro-Jets.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's a guy that takes the other opposite side. That's just my opinion.
Maybe. Look, in terms of talent, in a vacuum, yes, the Jets have added very talented players. But to get to that cut from Schefter, this guy going to be healthy? I'm telling you right now, Tyron Smith is going to miss some time. He misses time every single year. You're hoping that it's – I think that Jet fans or people who are building up the Jets – are going into it thinking, well, he played 13 games last year. No reason he can't play 13 games. The year before that, I think he played 2 games.
Yeah.
It's a complete crapshoot where the only thing you know pretty well for sure, he ain't going to play every single game.
Right.
And just given the Jets' history with injuries, it has to make you a little concerned. Because with them, it's guys who have been hurt before, they'll get hurt for the Jets. Guys who haven't got hurt before. Well, of course they haven't got hurt before, but they'll get hurt with the Jets. So in terms of outcomes, yes. If everything were to fire perfectly, could the Jets be one of the best teams in the AFC? Yeah. But what's the chances that everything hits perfectly? And again, we always talk about what's the NFL? Is it a talent league or is it a coaching league? It's a coaching league.
It is.
So it's great to have all this talent. There's a lot of talented teams every single year, and we think to ourselves, well, why doesn't this team win? It's because it's the coaching. So that's another major question when it comes to the New York Jets.
It is. There's no doubt about that. There's another question here that Schefter was asked on the K-Show, and it's about one guy who is still on this roster, Gordon Damer. What's up with Zach Wilson?
No, I think in the end they'll trade him. I think it might take some time for a lot of reasons. Look, it's really not hard to come up with his value. We saw Mac Jones go for a 6. We saw Justin Fields go for a 6. And I think we all would agree that Zach Wilson hasn't accomplished quite as much as Mac Jones or Justin Fields accomplished. The issue really here is that there's about $4.2 million worth of money on that contract. So we could come up with a 7th round pick right now and say, okay, it's a 7. Or we're flipping picks, whatever it may be. The question is, what are we going to do about that money? It's $4.2 million. Jets aren't going to want to pay it. Jets are going to hold out till some team pays some of that money. Other teams are going to say, hey, you're not going to carry him. You're going to have to release him. We'll give you something now. So I think we get an inflection point at the draft. You know, when there'll be some guy in round 6 or 7 sitting there that the Jets want, okay, we got to make this happen right now for Zach Wilson, if not before, where, okay, how are we divvying up the money? Because that's what it comes down to in the end to me, really. It's not about the value they're getting back. It's about the $4.2 million as much as it is anything else.
Yeah, it's definitely about the money, Gordon. There's no question about that. No question about that.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's right. Maybe some team just does the Jets. Basically, you would just be doing the Jets a favor.
Mm-hmm. Or you think, Gordon, that they just don't know how to handle quarterbacks. You believe that you can come in and do something with him to at least make him a decent backup to your roster or something of that nature. That would be the only way I see you moving him.
Yeah, I would think that think about all the different quarterback spots that have already been snatched up.
Yep.
And it feels like between the teams in the – nobody's taking Zach Wilson as a starting quarterback. It feels like a lot of the backup jobs, even teams that are looking for starting quarterbacks, I think that they already have kind of their backup guy. Mm-hmm. Like the Vikings, I think the Vikings need a starting quarterback, but they don't need a backup quarterback because they'd have Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold would be their backup, and then they'll draft somebody, and either Darnold will start the season and they'll flip it somewhere. I just don't see where there's a spot. It feels like that Zach Wilson, wherever he goes, you can't trust him to be the backup. He is a third quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a project.
And he is.
Unfortunately, the Jets can't trade him back into the player portal in college. That's really where can the player portal trade him, give him a couple of draft picks? Because who would ever have a situation where they'd have Zach Wilson the heartbeat away from their starting quarterback? Because what the Jets have shown, and look, maybe the Jets have gotten less out of it than anybody else.
Yeah.
But what the Jets have, what you've seen on the field is that if Zach Wilson is a heartbeat away from your starting quarterback job, you are screwed.
Yeah, you've seen it. Although I will say this, Gordon, I would think that your offensive coordinator would be able to do something other than this offensive coordinator.
Well, but it's two offensive coordinators now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at some point it becomes that it's a Zach Wilson problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And neither one of them could do anything.
Nope.
And one of them gave up on him.
Yep. I mean, they've given up on him. He's like Freddie. You keep thinking he's gone, and he keeps coming back.
Keeps coming back, and you keep wondering why.
And he haunts your dreams.
Yeah, he does. He does. 1-800-919-3776. We'll take your calls next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
And I heard you chatting about Joe Shane and wondering, do we really know what kind of GM this guy is? And I think this is the draft, Gordon, that we'll find out. Is he the GM that can really stir this ship and get them going the right way?
Yeah, because the first year, it wasn't based on Joe Shane. It was more based on Brian Daboll, right? The first year, they really couldn't do anything.
Yep.
And they did have two very high draft picks, one of which looks like it's a real piece in Thibodeau, but the other one was Evan Neal with the seventh pick in the draft. So, they got to start getting things moving. You have to see after this draft and feel good about the direction. Okay, they might not be there in terms of wins and losses, but I see the direction they're going. I can see the plan coming into focus. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like you through two drafts, you can see that yet.
Nope, I agree. Subi's in Midtown. Subi is next on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey guys, I want to talk about the Jets in general regarding the draft. I know that Joe Alt is the premier offensive lineman in this draft. I'm very confused about why, if they feel like he's the primary target, why they wouldn't sacrifice a future second-round pick to trade up, because I think teams would be willing to trade back. And then at the end of the day, Jets have missed off on offensive linemen in the past, whether it be Tristan Wirfs or Sowell. So I'm just – and then the Jones last year. So I'm just wondering why they wouldn't trade up for a premier target versus just taking whoever they have on the board when that draft pick comes. Because the Jets in general, I feel like this year, they only have one or two years with Rodgers, can build their team through defense and the offensive line. And then Rodgers, even if he's at 20 to 25 touchdowns, that will be good enough. It's not like he has to go for 40 touchdowns this year. They've proven that they can win 10 games with defense alone. So I think at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is, why haven't they done that in the past when they've identified a target? Just go after that target instead of waiting for the next offensive line. Just go after Joe Alt if they feel like he's the best one on the board. That's all I got to say.
All right, Subi, thanks for the phone call. Because whoever is going to pick Joe Alt is not going to move. Gordon, they're going to want him. They want him also. And previously, the Jets, they moved up, but they picked the wrong guy on a couple of occasions. Going, they picked the wrong person.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last year they got Tippmann in the second round. They kind of liked Tippmann. So, you know, the thing with happened with McDonald's, I think that they did want to take that tackle and had to pivot at the last minute because the team traded up in front of them and he was gone by the time the Jets picked.
Yeah.
Well, look, all the reports about this draft, and I'm not going to tell you that I'm Mel Kiper Jr., but all the reports about this draft this year, it's deep in offensive linemen and receivers. Right? You can get really good offensive linemen in the second round. You can get really good receivers in the second round. It's very deep in those two areas. So maybe the Jets feel like, without a second-round pick, that they don't need to trade up, that there's going to be a good player on the board at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the feeling, just, and maybe I'm wrong, I get the feeling they're not going offensive lineman in the first round. I get the feeling they're going skill position player because I know, everybody knows that never happened for Aaron Rodgers when he was in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of talk about Brock Bowers being available there at 10, the tight end.
Yep.
Jets certainly could be able. I think it's a mistake, but I think they're going to go a skill position player. I think they'll wait until the second round based on the reports of there being so many offensive linemen available that they'll wait. And if there's one available in the second round, they'll trade into the second round to get him.
See, I think they should do the opposite.
Oh, absolutely.
They should take the lineman and get the skill position player. I know they don't have a second round pick, but, you know, so this is what you do. You try to trade up. You try to trade and get a second rounder back. But I think you do the skill position player later, because with the amount of injuries that they have suffered on their offensive line last year alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you've got guys in your starting that you projected as starters who have an injury history. What better way to add depth is to get an offensive lineman? Because Joe Douglas has to, even though he may not be here, his obligation is not only to this season, but the seasons ahead.
Right.
And so whether Rodgers is here or not, you still need offensive line play. You essentially brought in Moses and Smith for 1 year.
Yep.
Because that's really what you have them for. It's 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
You're banking on them. That's why you're rolling the dice. Listen, we're not going long-term with them. We'll see what happens. If it doesn't work out, it's not killing us. You know, we may not win or anything, but we're not locked in long-term to a guy who's going to be injury-prone over the next couple of years. It's essentially a one-year deal for both these guys.
So you got to
build up your offensive line, Gordon.
On Saturday, I did receipts. I self-reported a receipt, Larry, that by the time the Jets schedule, they play their first game in the month of October, someone along their offensive line, one of the tackles, will be missing time.
Mm. Wow.
And if that happens, would you like to go back into the first round and have someone come in as a top 10 pick and be able to slot into one of those two positions?
I would.
Or would you rather have a tight end who might be great? He might turn out to be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's not as great a need as if you don't fix the offensive line now and in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we talking about? You're hoping that this is the last time you're going to be picking in the top 10 for a while.
You do. You do. That's why, Gordon, they need a quarterback, too. I'm just saying.
Wow. I mean.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm just saying.
I mean, if you have somebody who blew the second pick in the draft, you want him taking somebody in the third. The Jets don't have that many resources this year. They have a first, a third, and they have 2/4.
They don't have a lot.
They don't have a fifth. They have a sixth round pick. So, like, to me, if you're not talking about the first four rounds, I feel like it's a quarterback coming out of those. It does happen, but the only time it happens are the guys you know about. There's 1,000 other guys that you forget about that get drafted in rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7 who never pan out. So, I feel like if we're talking about this year being win now, I got to do things to fix the now. I can't worry about the future.
Well, listen, I think considering the issues they've had drafting quarterbacks high, they should take one low for a change.
How bad could it be, right?
It can't be no worse.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it can't be no worse. But, it's something they got to think about.
Somebody's going to be thinking about it.
Yeah, somebody.
I think beyond – when we get to the 2025 NFL draft, I think that that's a time that you might have to think about it.
Yeah, I think you do. I think you do. And, you know, hopefully you won't have the record to get a good one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're hoping you're going to be in that position where whoever you're going to be draft, you hope, at the end of the first round, and then that guy's going to succeed because you're going to surround him with talent in a way that Sam Darnold wasn't and certainly Zach Wilson wasn't. So, but that's tomorrow's Jets problems. That's not today's Jets problems.
No, that is not today's Jets problem. Today's Jets problem is they need to get an offensive line. Now, listen, once again, they beef up their defense. So, you know, they add some pieces there. We'll see if these pieces can help them stop the run, because that was something that they had major issues with. Major issues with last season.
Yeah.
You know, so plus, you know, you were talking about, you know, the scenario with Joe Shane as a GM. Gordon, let's be honest. We still got the jury's still out about, you know, Robert Saleh as a coach.
Oh,
the
no
jury's
question.
Still out.
Absolutely, it's still out.
You know,
he hasn't had a winning season yet.
I know.
I mean, I know. If the jury's in, we know what the verdict is. We're hoping that the jury is still out for a reason, because it's going to turn. Because if the jury comes in after these 3 years, I think we all know what the answer is.
Yeah, the answer is it won't be a hung jury. There'll be a jury.
No.
There'll be a new person in there making. Well, running things.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the question. Can you get this team ready or not? Here you come. You got to get this team to the playoffs this year. Otherwise, there's going to be changes coming. And the first one, the absolute first one, will be the head coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It will be. That's a tough situation. Gordon, we mentioned the Giants. Here's what Shefty had to say about the New York Football Giants when he was asked, what does he think the Giants will do with the sixth pick?
If you're asking me today, 17 days out of the draft, what the Giants do at six, I would say non-quarterback. That's my belief. Now, we'll see how it actually unfolds. I don't think the Jets are going quarterback at 10. Do I think the Giants would go quarterback as early as round two for the right guy? I do, depending on who's there. And it's just a question of where the value meets your pick at that point in time. Maybe this draft comes and goes without them taking a quarterback. In a perfect world, I think that they'd like to get one. I would also guess that it's not at six. They could send out all the noise and smoke screens and do all the work they want to make people believe that they want to try to trade up to six, so that if they can't trade up to Arizona at four or the Chargers at five, maybe the Giants are a pivot point at six. But again, if you're four, five, or six, are you prepared to bid farewell to Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, players like that to move back for compensation? Yes. But again, it's going to take a lot. The acquiring team's going to have to give up a lot. There's a lot that has to happen, not to say it can't, but my guess would be that the Giants take a wide receiver or an offensive lineman.
You know, they're in an interesting spot, Gordon, the Giants are, in the sense that if they weren't so devoid of weapons, I would say they should trade down. Get a bunch of picks and fill some of these needs that they have, because they're really building. They're not in a situation where they're...
They are not one player away.
No, they're not even two players away.
No, there are a bunch of players away. Yeah.
And that would be a way to do it.
Well, if you're saying that this draft is deep in receiver and offensive line, I think that those are two positions that the Giants could still benefit from, especially receiver. They need to come out of this draft with a true stud number one receiver moving forward. Now, I don't think you necessarily have to get that guy at six. But I think that what it will require is somebody wanting to trade up. So it seems like right now the Chargers are open for business. Uh-huh. It feels like the Cardinals are open for business. And if you're going to move up there, it's likely because it's going to be about a quarterback. So they need the J.J. McCarthy buzz to continue enough that somebody wants to get, and it's not going to jump over them to get him. That six is the spot where you can get him for one of these quarterback desperate teams, the Vikings, the Broncos, the Raiders, whoever.
Yeah, but once again, we understand they do need receivers. We get it. But I'm just saying, Gordon, that, you know, trading down is not a bad thing.
They are in rebuild mode.
Yeah.
And we've seen that generally. Any team that has a lot of picks, they generally have a better chance of adding more impactful players just because they have more picks. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not necessarily about having high picks. That does help, but it feels like the swing and miss rate on just about every GM is a lot higher. It's not like the best GMs are hitting it at 85%. Like, the best you can do is 50-50.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then at least if you have two shots at the board, right? If the Giants move down and get a second round pick out of it, and they're picking in the middle of the first round or later in the first round, but they also have a second round pick, I think that that would be the better way to go. The one thing that they cannot do mm-hmm. is trade up for a quarterback.
No.
They cannot be trading away draft picks to move up to four. I've heard scenarios about moving up to three. Absolutely not. And I don't even really want them taking a quarterback at six, because what's the chances that the guy who's the fourth quarterback picked is going to be really good, especially when surrounded with the weapons that the Giants have?
Not very good. I mean, look at what you got right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the sixth pick?
Right. It's deja vu all over again.
Yeah.
And at least there you had Saquon Barkley, who is a legitimate star-type player. I think it was mm-hmm. hurt a lot, but if they're taking J.J. McCarthy or Drake May at six, that guy is coming into a scenario that's going to be very difficult to succeed right away. And it feels like if you're taking a quarterback at six, people are going to expect him to succeed right away.
Yeah, they are. They are. And the fact that who your head coach is, and you saw what he was able to do up in Buffalo, you saw what he did with Daniel Jones the first year he got here, you're expecting him to be, he's going to have quarterback whisperer reputation soon.
Yeah. And I wonder, with the move that the Bills made with Stephon Diggs, they're clearly in a spot where they're looking to draft a big-time receiver, you would mm-hmm. think.
Yes.
I just wonder if the connections that Joe Shane has in Buffalo, if that might pay some dividends where the Giants move down pretty far, right? The Bills pick 28th. But if you can get a second-round pick or a future first-round pick and really start building this thing brick by brick,
yeah,
that might be it, – it's not the appealing thing where you want the big shiny toy on draft night.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times the counterintuitive move, that's the right move, especially for a team that's as far away as the Giants are.
No doubt about it. You are correct. 1-800-919-3776. We'll come back and chat some more next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
Gordon, that's the voice of Malik Nabers, the young man out of LSU. 89 receptions, 1,569 yards, 14 touchdowns, an average of over 17.5 yards per reception. He would help them out a little bit, Gordon.
Sure would. I mean, I think that that's the best. If they're staying where they're at.
Yes.
I think that that's the best approach is to figure out, because it seems like Marvin Harrison Jr. will probably be off the board at that point.
I would think so.
The things that seem like they might be available to you are the fourth quarterback, the second wide receiver, the first offensive lineman, the first pass rusher. I don't think they need anything on the deep. I'm not saying they Mm-mm. don't need anything, but I don't think that they can afford to invest more on the defense when the offense is in tatters like it is right now.
Yeah.
They got to get an offensive playmaker weapon at the receiving position. Now, if there were a tight end that warranted something like that, I would say, okay, maybe you go that route. Or maybe you can move down some if there's somebody that's interested in the quarterback and you can still get one of these receivers or Brock Bowers. That would be mm-hmm. good too. But if you're staying at six, I think you got to get the best receiver that's available to you at that spot.
You know, I saw some mock drafts, Gordon, that they have Harrison Jr. going to the Chargers. Are you kidding? That would be wow.
They need. I mean, they've lost. They lost Keenan Allen. They lost Mike Williams. So they need receivers. So it does seem like the Chargers, at least from what you read, that might be a spot where teams are looking to trade up.
Mm-hmm.
But they desperately need some pass catchers for Justin Herbert.
Yep.
It seems like Arizona is likely going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. Although we're still 3 weeks away, so who knows? Mm-hmm. But if you told me that you could get, see, this is why to me, the thing that I would go back to over and over again if I were a Giant fan at this point is, why did we win those games against Washington?
Absolutely.
Why did we win that game against the Patriots? We would be sitting right now with the fourth pick, and we'd get Marvin Harrison Jr., and away we go.
Or a quarterback.
Yeah, you could have got a quarterback. Right, if you would have been picking two or three, that's certainly a possibility as well.
Mm-hmm. But definitely Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yes. I mean, if you're talking about the receiver, it seems like he's the – if you take position out of it, like who's a sure thing,
mm-hmm.
it seems like Marvin Harrison Jr. is a sure thing.
Yes.
Now, there are no sure things.
No. But he's close.
He's as close as you can get, and that would certainly be a big boost.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I know there's been some reports about neighbors that he might mm-hmm. not work in a big city. There's some attitude things. He's mm-hmm. a bit of a diva. Every time I look at him, and it might be because he played at LSU, I see Ja'Marr Chase.
Wow.
So if you could tell me I could add a piece like that, that would
be the
best offensive, that would be the best receiver that Daniel Jones or whoever's the quarterback going to be long term has ever had. So,
and oh, by the way, what wide receiver isn't a diva?
Right. Well, I think that if you're a diva, it's what it's telling you is that you are productive.
Yeah,
right?
you want the football.
Right. There's not really any diva. I guess maybe there is, but like guys who don't produce at all,
mm-hmm.
who are diva. I think part of it is you get the ball and you do things with it. And you expect to get the ball all the time. So I think you would trade that production if you don't want somebody who's going to be disruptive or. Like only thinking about themselves, but yeah, mm-hmm. there's more than enough example. Like any receiver who's a diva generally is uber productive,
yeah.
and the Giants could certainly use one of them.
I mean, you look at this kid, his career, 72 receptions in 2022, over 1,000 yards, 3 touchdowns. But Gordon, last year he exploded, 14 touchdowns, over 1,500 yards in receptions. I mean, a long of 51. I mean, this is what you want. I mean, if whoever it is your quarterback, you need somebody that's going to make some plays. And this is a kid that can make some plays. Now, obviously, there's going to be adjustments at the pro level. You know, he's got to be able to, understand what the defenders are doing. But, I mean, Gordon, let's face it. This is an offensive league. So if he can catch a little bit and he listens to his coaches, he'll be fine.
Yeah. Just to get back to, I think, the point Subi made about why don't the Jets move up and trade up and trade mm-hmm. away. There are only, in terms of draft capital and the amount of draft capital teams have, if you look at like the points, if you translate it into points like the old Jimmy mm-hmm. Johnson chart.
Yes.
Only 5 teams have less draft capital in this year's draft than the Jets.
Yep.
And they're all playoff teams from a year ago.
And that's why.
Right. So they're 27th in terms of draft capital. They pick 10, and then they don't pick again until 72. So we've spent a lot of time talking about the Giants trading down. I think there's a better possibility of the Jets trading down.
Yeah.
If they want to recoup that second-round pick, I'm sure.
I would think so. Mm-hmm. But the question becomes, for them who have whiffed on offensive linemen before, the further down you go, Gordon, I know they're all deep, but they're all not the same. So the further down you go, mm-hmm. the less talented you're going to get your offensive lineman. And that's going to be a concern because you've been burned by doing this before. That's why you're in this spot.
Yeah. Well, I, for all the praise we've given Joe Douglas, all Joe Douglas has done this year is right the mistakes that he made the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Maybe, right. Well, you're hoping that he's fixed.
Maybe.
Right. But it's all issues that he has made for himself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even he had to say, why did I let Morgan Moses go? I was saying, well, right. Yeah, well, why? There had to be a reason, Gordon. Now, what is it? He went away, he got coached up better, and now he's coming back? You have to wonder what is going on with not only the talent that you're – not only your process of picking personnel,
mm-hmm.
but what you do when you get them. You got to look at all that. You have to look at all that.
Wow. That's coaching. And,
that's what we talk about with the Knicks. Been the big difference.
Yeah, I've just been looking through a couple of mock drafts just to get an idea. Generally, it's about 9 or 10 offensive linemen going in the opening round.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't move from... I don't know where you'd need to move from 10 to be able to recoup a second round pick. I guess maybe the 20s. If you go from 10 to, say, 22, 23.
You're not getting a good one.
You have to be able to find enough. I mean, if there's 10 of them going in the round, you have to be able to find one of them, no?
They found Mekhi Becton.
They did. They didn't move down for him. He was at 11. No. 11.
He was 11.
11. A lot of offensive linemen that year, too.
Absolutely. And it should have worked, Gordon.
Should have worked.
I mean, you saw him the first year blowing people off the line in the run game. Just pushing people back.
I do have to laugh because since the Bills made the move with Stephon Diggs, there's been a lot of the Jets are now the best team in the AFC East. Do people think that the Bills are not going to address the receiver position in the draft? Do you think that the Bills are just like, oh, we're just going to get rid of Stephon Diggs and we're not going to do anything about it? I love how people are saying, well, right now the Jets are – the draft hasn't happened yet. The draft is a major part of the offseason.
Yes. No question. No question. But I do think part of it not only is the fact that they made the move, Gordon, but once again, and it's really not their fault. Well, partially it is. I shouldn't say that. It's partially their fault. You couldn't be Kansas City in your own building this year. And so I just think it's more of a situation of, you know, this window is barely open, Gordon.
All the things that need to go right. And just in terms of health, you need Rodgers to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You need the tackles to stay healthy.
Yes.
You need Mike Williams to stay healthy.
Yes.
And that's not even talking about any new injuries.
Yeah, it's a lot of ifs.
Yeah.
There's
you
no
need the offensive line patched together in one off season to now hit the ground running where you don't have any issues moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
You need the coach to be locked in and ready to go and show you something deep in games. And I'm not saying it's impossible, but it does. I likened it to the song "Build Me Up, Buttercup." Build me up just to let me down. It feels like that's the case every year with the Jets, and it doesn't feel like it's any different this year. Like there's been a lot of building up this offseason, especially lately.
Yep.
I don't know. Just you hope for the best, but
you got to plan
out. Have a little bit of skepticism.
Well, but Gordon, the realistic Jet fan has a lot of skepticism.
I don't know. I don't feel like
that's
I
all
hear
they
it
do.
Enough.
They skeptical. No, Gordon, they do. They do. They have a lot of skepticism. Some of it is. Well, you know, listen, it's like me. It should work. Should work this time. You know, it's about time, huh? We can't be this unlucky forever. So that's what you're hearing. Like, oh, we got this guy. We got that guy. Yeah, that's that initial, you know, really exuberance. But the real Jet fan, scared to death right now, Gordon, has no thought process that this is
going to work. Is it just like fake it until you make it? Like you're just going to put on this brave face, and then if it goes wrong, you'll say, oh, well, I knew it was going to. It always goes wrong.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just hear a lot of optimism of Joe Douglas has gotten the job done. I love what Joe Douglas has done. He's been cooking this offseason. He's gotten it all right. He did this right. He did that right.
There are some who have said that. There's no question about it. But there are others who have said, you know, here we go again with the Jets lead the league and guys who get injured and we put them on our team. So
it's unusual to fill as many positions in free agency and hit on all of them.
No, you it is.
It doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't. And they are praying that, you know, Elijah Vera Tucker can stay healthy this year.
Right, I didn't even mention him.
You know, they're praying he can stay healthy. Praying. Tippmann has shown you something. I think he's going to continue to be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're asking a lot. You got two new tackles and a guard. It's, you know, we got to see. The only thing that helps you if you're a Jet fan to be positive is the fact that unless something happens in OTAs, that at least you have the possibility of your full offensive line being there at the start of training camp, healthy. That's the only positive thing you can say at this point. And that will help you try to get them to build some chemistry together. Because you didn't have that last year. Dwayne Brown was hurt all things already.
Like the idea, like looking back on that now, and I did kind of feel like it at the time, like thinking that you were going to get through, not even just trade, like you were going to get through an entire season with those two tackles, never seemed like it was.
No. Mm-mm. Nope. Nope. And remember, Becton was supposed to be an insurance policy.
Right.
He was. They didn't expect him to be able to. They were hoping to get some games out of him. He was the backup. He ended up playing just about every game.
Well, I understand nowadays in baseball when there's you think that there's a close play, you tell the you go to the dugout and tell them right away. No, challenge this play. Challenge this play. There was just a play in the Met game. Is it Acuna that stole second? I'm not sure. Maybe it was Harris. I can't see who the player was. But somebody just stole second. Their chest was on the base by the time Jeff McNeil tagged them. And Jeff McNeil's immediate reaction was, no, challenge that, challenge that.
Why would we do that?
I don't know.
Why are we listening to you?
Right. They held up the hand, and the guy who was on the phone, I'm not sure who it is. Is that John Stearns? I don't know who that is in the Mets dugout. But whoever it was. Gibbons, that's who it is.
Yeah, John Gibbons, the Mets coach.
His face was no, absolutely not.
What are you talking
He
about?
Heard from the ignore upstairs, him. Like, no, he's absolutely like,
ignore
sick.
Him. He's ridiculous. Ignore him. Ignore him. When we return, Gordon, we got some bracket stuff to do.
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to whittle it down, doggone it. We'll find out who is left as we try to figure out who is the greatest of all time. We'll do that next on 98.7 ESPN.